Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Dr. Jeff Schwarzentraub, senior pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. God has called his church to take the good news of Jesus into the world. That's our mission as disciples of Christ, and this ministry exists to challenge brave warriors for courageous kingdom advancement. To learn more about Brave or give a gift to help make programs like the one today possible, head to bravepastorjeff.com. Again, that's bravepastorjeff.com. Today on Brave, Pastor Jeff begins his message, Our Resurrection Bodies, from the series Stronger, and gives you a glimpse of the body you'll receive in eternity when Christ returns. Now let's hear from Pastor Jeff as he brings us today's teaching from God's Word.
I want to encourage you to turn your Bibles this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we're going to begin in verse 35 this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 35. Let me bring you up to speed in case you're just joining us. What Paul has been talking about in chapter 15 is the resurrection of the dead, that Christ has risen. And he said, as foundation, the most important thing that you need to know is that Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised from the dead according to the scriptures. And that the resurrection is the most significant, important fact to the Christian faith. It's historically provable, it's viable, and it validated the fact that Jesus Christ is God's one and only eternal Son when he came up out of the grave. He's the only one that has ever done that. Paul goes on to explain that if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, preaching is pointless. Our faith is useless. We're to be pitied among all people because if we only believe in Christ for this life, we're not believing in the Christ of the Bible, that Jesus Christ has indeed risen, that there is a life that follows this life, and that's important. And Paul goes on to say, as a result of him preaching this, as a result of him preaching that Christ is the resurrected Christ, he's endured all sorts of persecution and difficulty and challenge. When you begin to explain to people that Jesus Christ is God's one and only Son, that there is no other way but Jesus, that Jesus rose from the dead, and that's why he's the only God that's worthy of being served, you deal with tribulation as a result of sharing those truths. There's many people that reject that. And Paul's going to continue on because what he's going to talk about today is our resurrection bodies. I wanted to let you know, the body that you're in right now is not your ultimate destination. It's not your ultimate body. There is a resurrection body that is coming. And Paul's going to explain to us a little bit about what that's like. Now, we don't get a ton of information on that, but enough to know that it's definitely, as a believer in Christ, worth looking forward to. And so Paul's going to begin this section in verse 35, and he's really going to be answering a critic because notice what he says. But someone will say, how are the dead raised? And with what kind of body do they come? Now notice the start of the next verse. You fool. That seems kind of strange, doesn't it? I mean, because I think it's normal to ask questions like, how are the dead going to be raised? And what kind of body are we going to have? And is it okay to ask questions in church? Is it okay to ask questions? Yes, it is. It's always okay to ask questions. God is infinite. God knows everything. God's not challenged by your questions. He can answer them. So what Paul's not talking to is a person who's genuinely asking, what's it going to be like and what kind of resurrection body am I going to have? He's been dealing with a group of people in Corinth who still say there is no resurrection from the dead. And Paul is trying to correct them, saying Jesus was the first fruits of the resurrection. As he rose from the dead, at his return, all of those who are in Christ will be resurrected with him. Then there's the reign of Christ for 1,000 years on the planet where he will destroy all rule and authority and he will reign and rule. And then comes the end. Now, the end is for us as Christians, it's the beginning of the eternal state forever and ever. Amen. Okay? And that's what we've been talking about. So Paul is not talking, he's stating an argument here. He's not talking to someone who's genuinely interested and saying, hey, I want to know about this. He's talking to the person who says, there's no resurrection. How are the dead going to be raised? What kind of body are we going to have? And what's he say? You fool. Now, fool in the Bible does not mean what we think about in our modern day vernacular. When we think fool, we think idiot, stupid, simpleton, man, they don't have a brain. Some of the most educated people in the world can be fools according to the Bible, because fool in the Bible just means hard-hearted towards the things of God. That's what a fool is. I mean, there's some other examples in the Bible of fools, okay? And what it comes down to is understanding the gospel. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, Jesus said these words, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom. There's people that will say, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Lord. They won't enter the kingdom. Because just mouthing something with your lips does not mean that you're believing it in your heart. There'll be many on that day that say, but Lord, we prophesied in your name. We cast out demons. We saw people healed. And he will say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. And then he goes on to talk about two different types of people. People that build their house upon the rock, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, and people that build their house on the sand. And those who build their house upon the sand are what? They're fools. They're fools. They're stubbornly hard-hearted, saying, I want to build my life completely around me. Maybe I'll have Jesus on the side. Maybe I won't. But at the end of the day, my life still centers around me. That person, the Bible says, is a fool. Psalm 14:1 says, the fool in his heart says there is no God. Some of the most intelligent people in the world are fools. Doesn't mean they're not smart. Doesn't mean they're not well-educated. Doesn't mean they're not good people. But when it comes to the things of God, they are foolish because they are stubbornly hard-hearted and want nothing to do with Jesus. I mean, even you think about Jesus' disciples. Judas Iscariot, he was a fool. He was an absolute fool. Here he followed Christ around for 3 years and didn't have a relationship. Jesus Christ was not Judas Iscariot's Lord. He had plans for Jesus that were different than his. Whereas the other 11, they bowed and worshiped Jesus as Lord. Judas Iscariot was a fool, right? Because money became more important to him than a relationship with Jesus Christ. And we see this all throughout the scripture. And that's why before we get into the section and talk about resurrection bodies, it's really important that you understand the gospel before we talk about resurrection bodies, because everybody that comes to church thinks they understand the gospel and not everybody that comes to church understands the gospel. The gospel is this, that Jesus Christ is God's one and only Son. He's eternal. He's always existed. He became incarnate 2,000 years ago. He lived a perfect life. He fulfilled everything that the Bible required of a person. What we could never do, Jesus Christ did, because we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There is no one good, no, not one. There is not one here who seeks after God, not one. So Jesus came on our behalf to restore glory to his Father that we had robbed through our sin, and to provide a way for those of us who are sinful to have a relationship with a perfect, holy God. And what he did was, as animals were a type of sacrifice and a precursor of what was to come, Jesus Christ was the ultimate sacrifice once and for all. He stretched out his arms. He died on a cross in your place for the death you deserve to die. The punishment you deserve for your sin, Jesus took, was buried, but 3 days later, God the Father raised him from the dead. He's as alive as he's ever been. Amen? And those facts are true. They're biblical. They're historical. They're real. Whether you believe it now, you can believe it later. It's true. I promise you. And Jesus Christ, the resurrected Christ, ascended into heaven, and he's coming back and said, you must be ready. And the way that you're ready for him is by confessing him as your personal Lord and Savior, by admitting in your heart that you're a sinner, by believing that there's no way for you to get to God, but that Jesus came for you, and believing that he rose from the dead, and confessing him then as your Lord and Savior. It's not enough to know the facts. Just because you know the facts, you can still be a fool. In Luke chapter 18, there was a young man that came to visit Jesus, and he said, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And he says, well, what's the law? What is written in the law? And he begins to tell him about all the things, you know, to honor your father and mother and obey the Lord. And he's like, good, all these things I've done since I was a child. And Jesus said, yeah, but one thing you lack. Go sell everything you have, give to the poor, and then come back and follow me. And this man walked away sad. And while he's walking away sad, I mean, here's a good man who's trying to keep the truth of the Bible, who Jesus knows in his heart has something in between him and full allegiance to him. And he lets him walk away sad, loving him. And then he says these words, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Truly, truly, I say to you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God.
You're listening to Brave, and today Pastor Jeff is sharing his message, Our Resurrection Bodies, from the series Stronger, giving you a sneak peek at the body you'll receive when Christ returns in glory. We'll get back to Pastor Jeff in just a moment, but first, we want to help you be ready to courageously stand for kingdom values each day. That's why we want to invite you to become a Brave Warrior by signing up for email updates from Pastor Jeff. As a Brave Warrior, you'll get exclusive first-look access to exciting new content, ministry updates, and resources to help you fight the good fight of faith and boldly pursue the fulfillment of the Great Commission. To become a Brave Warrior, simply go to BravePastorJeff.com to sign up. Once again, that website is BravePastorJeff.com. We look forward to hearing from you. Now, let's get back to Pastor Jeff to listen to the conclusion of his teaching from God's Word today.
Truly, truly, I say to you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. Now, here's why that's so challenging. That's so challenging because if somebody that's trying their best to keep the Bible, who's coming to Jesus saying, I want what you have, and ends up walking away sad because they refuse to make Jesus Christ Lord, it means that there's one way into heaven. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And it's not about your behaviors and being good and what you can do to make Jesus impressed with you. It's you bowing your knee in submission to the Lordship of Christ and saying that you are my Lord and my God, and I want you to rule me. Right? That's what a Christian is. Anything shy of that is foolish. That's what the Bible would point out. And so that's what we need to understand. And so I don't assume because you come to Brave Church that you're a Christian. I don't assume because I preach this every single weekend that you picked up on it, because sometimes we have to hear things over and over and over again. But the question becomes, when did the gospel become good news to you? When did those truths take ownership in your heart where you're like, yes, that's what I'm banking my entire eternity on? Because I'll tell you, as a pastor, that's what I'm banking my entire eternity on. If Jesus Christ has not risen from the dead, I'm foolish to do what I do. There is no hope. There is no way. I mean, there's nothing. My whole hope is on the fact that this word is true and that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And that's what he's saying here. And because he did, it means this. You need to understand this. When you die, before we get into this, when you die, your soul immediately goes and departs your body. It will go to one of two places. It will go immediately to heaven to be with Jesus, awaiting your resurrected body that will join with your soul, or it will go to hell immediately. Okay? And we'll await judgment where you too will have a resurrected body. Okay? And we'll talk about that as we go on today. But there are no second chances. There are no made up things like there are in our world, like purgatory, where once you go to a place, you can work it off. There is no such thing as reincarnation. It is appointed unto man to die once, and after that face judgment. There will be no other opportunity. You have time and space now to give Jesus Christ your whole life, or you don't. But when you die, there's no second chance, right? There's no second chance. Do you understand what I'm saying? It means if you're a believer, it should give you incredible hope. And if you're not, you should be terrified at your soul level, knowing that you're going to face the judgment of God. Here's what will happen. For those who are believers, your body will be rejoined. Your new spiritual resurrected body will be rejoined with your soul to enjoy God forever and ever. And if you're a non-believer, we'll see it later, your body will be rejoined as a spiritual body to experience eternal torment apart from Christ forever and ever. There's only one of two places you can go. That's why Paul's saying, when these people are like, yeah, whatever, how are the dead going to be raised and what kind of body are they going to have? He's saying, you're a fool. You're a fool. You're missing out on what the whole point is. The whole point is that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you got to get that before we can understand resurrection bodies. So that's introduction to what we're talking about today. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about three things about our resurrection bodies that you need to understand so that you're looking forward to and motivated about what is to come. And the first one is this. When it comes to our resurrection bodies, our current earthly bodies are simply a hint of what is to come. Our current earthly bodies are simply a hint of what is to come. Notice what he says in verse 36 after he says, you fool. He goes, that which you sow does not come to life unless it dies, and that which you sow, you do not sow the body which is to be, but a bare grain, perhaps of wheat or of something else. But God gives it a body just as he wished, and to each of the seeds a body of his own. So he's using an agricultural analogy to talk about how seeds are a hint of the plant that is to come, much like your earthly bodies are a hint of your glorious resurrected body that is to come. Now, skeptics or fools can't believe because they don't believe in the reality of the supernatural God. Like, how could God do that? Well, we're talking about the God that created the entire world in 6 days, that's held the sun, the moon, and the stars together, that has all sorts of universes out there we're not even aware of. I mean, we're talking about a supernatural God. He's able to do what he says he can do. And it's really interesting for me, because even when I talk to people who are self-proclaimed atheists, deep down, they kind of know that there's something more. I mean, even though they try to stuff down there is no God, deep down, they know that there's something more than just this life. But Paul begins to talk about seeds. You know, so just to give you an example, I put up a couple pictures on the screen this morning. I mean, take a look at this seed. We'll start really easy. You know what that is? That's corn, yeah. So what does corn turn into? It has a stalk, ears of corn. I was raised in Illinois. I mean, farmers were always like, it's got to be knee-high by the 4th of July to be good. I mean, they know how to water it and do it, and you watch it grow, and it becomes something. But when you plant a kernel of corn, it doesn't just become two kernels of corn. It becomes a whole stalk and an ear of corn. Okay, you did really well. Okay, how about this one? Check out this. What's that seed? Anybody know? Think summer, think picnic. Yeah, watermelon, okay? So you plant those seeds, you get that, right? And some of us don't like the seeds. That's why we can now buy seedless watermelon, but that's a whole nother story. But God creates that, and you plant a seed, and it doesn't just become more watermelon seeds. It becomes a watermelon. How about this one? This is a tough one. Okay, show the picture. This is an apple. That doesn't even really look like it. It's apple seeds, right? Plant an apple seed, get an apple tree. I mean, you get the idea. I mean, this is what Paul's talking about, that when it comes to a seed that gets planted in the ground, that germinates and becomes what it's supposed to become, it's like what it was, but it's not exactly what it was. There's a continuation to what it was, but it is something that's fundamentally different. And it's just the way that God designed it. God designed seeds to become what they're supposed to be. And in order for that seed to work, it must be buried in the ground. It must die, and then it changes. And when it comes out, it has distinctive characteristics that are different than the seed, but there's also similar qualities that are a continuation of what it is. And this is exactly what we see in Jesus' life. When Jesus Christ came to earth, and he lived his life, his final act was to die on the cross. Now, when he rose from the dead, we see distinctivenesses in his resurrected body and similarities in his resurrected body. There were a lot of distinctives, weren't there? His body was able to ascend and descend on command. It could be in different parts of the planet at different times without travel. He could enter rooms that were locked. He could do all sorts of things that in his earthly body he couldn't do, but in his resurrected body he could do, okay? It was very distinct and different. Also, it was similar. We see him on the beach, and what's he doing? He's eating fish with Peter. He's telling people, he goes, I'm not a ghost. A ghost does not have flesh and bones. I mean, he was talking that he had a real spiritual body. Another uniqueness to Jesus when he rose from the dead is people didn't always recognize him until he revealed himself. So it means he didn't look exactly the same as he did in his earthly body. But when he spoke or when he chose to reveal himself, like to the women or on the road to Emmaus, then people were like, that was the Lord. I know that was the Lord. I know him. When you have your resurrected body, people always wonder, will I know who that is in heaven? Will I know my spouse? Will I know my kids? Answer is yes. Will we look exactly like we look now? No. There's a glorious resurrected body that will be a continuation of what you are. Your body is going to be resurrected and put together at that time with your spiritual body. It's not that there's some spiritual body in heaven waiting for you, just for your soul to kind of jump into. Your body will be resurrected and put together. Now, a lot of people push back and say, well, how can that be? Because I know somebody that died on the battlefield. They were blown up, or somebody drowned in the ocean. Nobody knows where they are, and they decompose. Or this person was eaten by a big fish or whatever. God knows. It's not hard for God. He won't even sweat putting all the bodies back into the resurrected state. That's who we serve. We serve a glorified God. And if we knew what was coming, if we knew our resurrection bodies, if we knew what we were going to have and what they were going to be like, we would yearn for the day of the resurrection. I mean, you get this picture in the book of Revelation where people are asking the question, how long, O Lord? Martyrs are asking, how long, O Lord? It's almost like their souls are in heaven saying, when do we get our resurrected bodies? When are they going to join? When are you going to rule and reign? We yearn for that. We as Christians should yearn for that too. We as Christians should yearn for the resurrection of the dead. It is the goal of our faith. And we see all sorts of examples of this in nature. I mean, you see the caterpillar that goes in the cocoon or chrysalis and comes out as a butterfly, and it's something completely distinct to what the caterpillar was, but you see the continuation. You can see the middle part of the butterfly that's the caterpillar that now has sprouted wings. So it's something completely different, but at the time, it's similar. You can still see how it was once a caterpillar. That's what the resurrection is going to be like. And God doesn't give us a ton of specifics. I think that's one of the joys of being faithful and looking forward to that. God has so much in store in the future for us that if we saw it all, we would be so overwhelmed and blown away by how awesome it is. But I got news for you, Christians. Those of you who trusted in Christ, a really good day is coming. And you are going to be excited about your resurrection body. So I was just having fun. I mean, if our body's like a seed, I was thinking about, I mean, what might I look like in the kingdom of heaven? So I was thinking maybe something like this, you know. But I don't know. That's pure speculation. That's not biblical. My point is, I'm glad you're paying attention. My point is that what we will be is nothing like we are now, okay? What we will be is nothing like we are now. And Paul's making the analogy. That's why death is a part of life. And the body is good, and the body will be resurrected. It's not like you leave your body in the tomb or grave or get cremated or whatever or get lost, and then there's no more body. Your body is resurrected and put together in your new spiritual resurrection body. That's what Paul's trying to point out. Second thing he talks about is not only are our current earthly bodies just a hint of what is to come, but notice this, our resurrection bodies will be far superior and uniquely suited to glorify the Lord. A resurrection body is far superior to what we have now. It's a new model and uniquely suited to glorify the Lord. Notice what he says. He said, all flesh is not the same, but there is one flesh of men and another flesh of beasts and another flesh of birds and another flesh of fish. He's talking about just look around in nature and see the uniquenesses of the type of creation that God has made and their unique abilities that they have and the way that they're able to bring glory to the Lord because of who they are. There's humans, there's beasts, there's birds, and there's fish. I mean, think about it like this. I mean, just thinking about beasts and birds and fish, think about buffaloes and eagles and dolphins, for instance. I mean, they are uniquely suited for their environments with unique abilities to bring God glory in the way in which they were created, just like you as a human being were created like that. But if you flipped what they were designed to do, it wouldn't work very well, would it? I mean, if you tried to put a buffalo up in a tree and get it to fly, you know, or you tried to put a dolphin on a, you know, out in the field, you know, so that it could survive. Or if you tried to put an eagle in the middle of the ocean. I mean, they're not designed for that. In the same way, Paul is saying that just the same way that God made different kinds of flesh that glorify him in this world, God's going to make different kinds of things out of us in our resurrected bodies to bring him glory in unique ways in the coming kingdom. And notice what the verse before says at the very, in verse 38 at the very end. He says, but God gives it a body just as he wished, and to each of these seeds a body of its own. God does what he wants. I mean, you are the height, weight, shape, size, hair, no hair, color, eyes, whatever you have. God designed you the way he designed you. Your resurrection bodies will be designed the way God wants them to be designed, according to what his purpose and plan is. He gets to choose what it looks like. He gets to choose what it's going to be. That's who our God is. And God's saying in the same way he's done it in nature is the same way he's going to do it in the resurrection.
Thanks for listening to Brave. That was Pastor Jeff with his message, Our Resurrection Bodies, encouraging you with the truth about the eternal perfect body you'll receive when Jesus returns. If you've been blessed by today's teaching, we invite you to give a gift to help keep this program going strong. To give, visit bravepastorjeff.com. That's bravepastorjeff.com. But before we wrap up, We also would like to invite you to join us for weekend services at Brave Church. Visit in person at any of our campuses, Englewood, Westminster, and our newest location in Colorado Springs. Or you can join us right from home through our weekend live stream. Visit bravechurch.online. Scroll down and click the Brave Church link at the bottom for details and directions. Thanks for joining us today.